On this week's episode of Loose Cannons, we talk about the kick-ass kung fu action film, Fist of the Double K. Hello, my name is Justin the Clue, and I'm here today with
Matthew Kumar.
And you're listening to Loose Cannons. What is this show about, Matthew?
Loose Cannons is a show in which we are committing ourselves to watching every single film put out by the Cannon Group, other than the ones that we can't find or which are just not available.
And we're starting from the beginning,
not the Golden Globus.
We're talking about the other guys that release Cannon films, which is why we're talking about a Hong Kong import on this episode, number 17,
yep.
Fist of the Double K, a.k.a.
A.k.a. all kinds of things, a.k.a. Dragons of Death in the UK, a.k.a. Fist of Fist, a.k.a. Fist to Fist,
a.k.a. the Kamikaze of Karate in France,
and apparently after Face Off was released, it was released in the USA as Hong Kong Face Off. Now, there's a reason for that.
And that's because John Woo, in some UK copies, is credited as director. From as far as I can find, that is false. John Woo worked on the film, mostly written up as an assistant director, but that's pretty much it. I mean, it kind of feels like his kung fu films, like Hand of Death, Young Dragons, Last Hurrah for Chivalry, but as far as I can tell, it was actually directed by a guy who was a producer named Jimmy Pasquale. Pasquale sounding like a weird French name, who really directed this film and directed a few unnotable ones and then kind of like disappeared into oblivion. But this is also a film that's notable for having a lot of famous people involved who were not famous at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the most like star-studded in a weird sort of way, films we've watched, compared to last week, where it was just me explaining people to Justin, where I was like, you know, the guy from Robin's Nest, that amazing 70s. This is actually people that you would legitimately know.
Yes, like Jackie Chan, who appears in a blink and you'll miss it cameo, which is funny because ironically, he had not had his eye operation surgery at the moment. And for people who don't know Jackie Chan, when he started working for Lo Lei in all those Bruce Lee ripoffs like Fist of Fury and Shaolin Wooden Men, he actually got surgery to widen his eyes because I guess to appeal more to North America.
I mean, most of the big Hong Kong actors have had that.
Did they?
I think. Yeah, like
I don't think Chow Yun-Fat has.
Not Chow Yun-Fat, but I mean like Andy Lau and all that. All those guys have had it done.
Matthew has his pulse to the cosmetic surgery of Hong Kong action stars.
I mean, also probably, I mean, I feel like all those guys are pretty litigious. Like Donnie Yen, I think, has had it done. Like, but I think just saying that,
especially Donnie Yen, he seems like a very angry man.
Yeah, he seems like he would sue us.
Yeah, so no, I'm sure that they haven't had those operations, and they're fine.
Definitely not. Jackie Chan's eyes were always like that.
So I went into this film kind of like nervous because, for one, I couldn't find it anywhere, and it exists. It's been released in the UK and stuff like that in widescreen, but I just couldn't find any available copies. And usually, what that means is it sucks. Because if like no one is selling them, or you can't find it anywhere online, it probably means that people just aren't that interested. And it is online in two versions, both of them shitty. And the less shitty version is still full screen and has a very interesting effect applied to the entire movie. Which is, what is it called? It's called a stabilizer is applied to it. Which means that like the handheld motions are lost, but it looks like everyone is very wobbly.
Yeah, the best way I can explain is like one of those like 90s like Hype Williams rap videos where like the background is constantly warping and moving. That's like literally what you're looking at.
You can see it. If you search Fist of the Double K and you're interested by this podcast, you can find it on YouTube and you can see that effect. It especially does not react well to zooms, where it looks like the guys are like moving away from the background toward the camera, and it's even more disorientating because everything is cropped. But this is how we had to watch the film, and we're going to review the film based on these kind of effects.
Yeah. And I will spoil it and say that even with that, we both enjoyed this movie.
We both enjoyed this film pretty immensely,
yeah.
I might say.
This is probably the best film we've seen in ages from Canada.
The most fun?
I would say the most fun.
Yes.
Like, we will be completely brutally honest. It is, you know, it's a classic.
I call it like a meat and potatoes kung fu film.
Yeah, it's a meat and potatoes kung fu, which means that there's basically no plot. The middle is just kind of filler, but it's just to get you to the point where our hero just lamps the shit at a bunch of baddies,
right? Yes. There's a lot of action scenes in this film. I would say there's almost a dozen of like separate action scenes with like little pauses between them, especially the climax, which is like 45 minutes of unrelenting, like hard boiled style action.
Yes.
So let's start with the plot and we'll move to the
action. Well, actually, I was going to say before we move into the plot, one of the things we should mention is it's not just that, you know, Jackie Chan is in this for a minute and John Woo like helped direct it. It's also the action choreography.
Yeah, it was done by the Yun brothers. Yu Oping, most famous for like The Matrix and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. His brother Yung Hwa, famous for Charlie's Angels 1 and 2. And Yung Chan. And his father, Simon Yun, who was the guy who taught Jackie Chan and Drunken Master and Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, also appears in it as a, not a fighter for some reason, but like as an uncle who's like, I know the secret of what's going on.
Yeah, so part of what has made this film enjoyable is that it's legit, you know? It's not like, compared to a lot of films we've watched to this point, which maybe feel like cheesy ripoffs or something else, or just kind of lazy, this is like, for canon picking this up, probably without even realizing it, because a lot of these people weren't famous yet, they've actually picked something up which is legit.
Yeah. Satisfying is the word that we're looking for. And you know what? I'm sure they picked it up completely accidentally.
Yeah,
they were
absolutely.
Probably like, okay, what... This was an independent kung fu film, so it wasn't Golden Harvest, it wasn't Shaw Brothers. Mm. It was made independently, which is probably why they were able to like grab it, because it's probably a producer being like, I need to unload this and make a little bit money. So Cannon probably stepped in and was like, yep, I'll grab that for you.
So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this meat and potatoes kung fu film. Starts, our hero, who neither of us know the name of, never comes up.
The hero.
He is graduating from police school, which his uncle runs, as happens. And his uncle says, you know, you've done me proud. You're top of your class. I'm going to give you a job. And he's like, also, your dad.
Not died of the plague.
He didn't die of the plague. Some guy killed him. And that's who you're going to go and get. His face gets all wobbly. And he's like, I'll kill that bastard. Because you watched an amazing, British dub of it from the East,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah, it's like British guys doing, which is probably the most common kung fu dub, which is like British guys or Australian people trying to do American accents for some reason. It just sounds great.
It sounds great. So, with the plan of getting that bastard, he heads off, and then we have what I consider a bit of a dip in the film, which is just guys riding around horses for what feels like forever.
Yes.
Like, at this point, I'll be honest, I was about like, oh dear, this is not going to be a good kung fu film.
This is like the people are coming into the theater and sitting down with their popcorn. Give them a good 15-20 minutes to get ready.
And we're introduced to our antagonists, who are just basically a group of
baddies,
basically. Yeah. I don't really remember them doing anything specifically bad.
Well, they like assault some innocent people. They try to rape a girl.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they only have a plan for badness, right?
No, it's just general day-to-day badness.
You just see it. And the character literally does like, they go to like a tea house or something. They're always in tea houses.
Ooh, you gotta have a fight if you're in a tea house.
And they introduce the characters. One is called Tiger Wang, and I forget what he does. He's not that important.
He does not turn into a tiger.
They point out, or a tiger's wang. And they point out this one character, Pigtail. And the character says, no one can mistake the Pigtail. Which I thought was kind of a weird name, but it's important because he has a very long pigtail. I didn't really notice it at the time. Yeah. I thought they were just like, Pigtail? Like,
but once you meet him, you'll never forget it.
Yeah. And those are the baddies I can remember, but there's lots more.
Yeah. To go through the whole baddies, there's like Pigtail, Knife Thrower, Whip Man.
So we don't remember the names, but there's Pigtail, Knife Throwing Guy. Was he even introduced at that point?
No, he was introduced later with Whip Man.
Whip Guy, and then there's just Old Man, who's the guy who killed main character's dad.
Yes, which will we find out later in a very long flashback that is humorously presented.
Yes.
So the hero goes around. He just seems to be wandering around, just kind of like looking
for
the bad.
The heroes are coming to the town.
Yes.
Right? And as he's coming to the town, before that happens, there's Cart, which has on it a simpleton with no teeth. And a blind lady, right? And two guys of the bad group.
Yeah, the bad dudes.
Come over the hill or whatever. And I swear, one points at the woman, because the wheel has come off the cart for some reason.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, that shit looks pretty good.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's a really funny scene where there's a fight scene near the end, and in the background you hear a guy go, "Oh my god!"
It's true.
They're having fun at the dubbing stage.
But again, at this point, nothing too much has happened, and with our history with canon films,
we're like, no, yeah, kitchen sink drama.
Like, yeah, I was like, how boring is this going to be? And also because the first things our baddies do, of course, is assault the lady.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, oh my god, how many of these did every film in the 1970s, or just every film picked up by canon, have to have one assault?
There's a very comedic scene, though, where they toss her over a cliff and she rolls for like 30 seconds. She's like, ah!
I mean, it is, compared to other films that we have watched,
it's fairly tame.
Yeah, which are like grim. This is like in your classic, no, don't, beating against the chest type of thing. Which is, again, you're like, I mean, it's just that we're so worn down by it. I don't think I'd even notice it in general when watching a comic film. It's just that with canon by this point, I'm sick of seeing it happen.
Yeah.
And of course, a hero appears out of nowhere and he just murders.
This is the best part about the hero of this film, which is he doesn't just fight people. He repeatedly punches them in the face, like 7 punches in a row to the same place. Like,
until they die.
Until they die. Like, and that was so refreshing to me.
If you haven't watched a lot of 70s Kung Fu or older Shaw Brothers movies and stuff, you might kind of think of them as more sort of like jolly and silly, or like more modern ones, a bit more brutal. But Kung Fu films from the 70s can often be crazy brutal. Like the Shaw Brothers films often have like so much...
Well, everyone dies.
Crazy red painted blood in them everywhere. And like this is like an early, like almost like a gritty fighting style. Because it's not...
There's not really any forms in the conventional sense from what I could see. It's mostly a lot of like flailing limbs.
Yeah.
And they do backflips and kicks and stuff like that. But it's not like shapes, which is usually the like classical term you would use for like a Shaw Brothers movie. They use shape fighting.
And it's no wuxia here. You know, like there's no one flies about. There is some jumping.
Yeah, and like flipping and stuff
flipping,
like that.
But there's nothing like supernatural about these fights. It's just legitimately our hero just punches people until they die. And to point out, what makes it funny is it's not that he like just punch here, punch there. Like, it's not a classic like fighting style. It's like he just goes, I'm gonna punch this person in the face
until they die.
It's kind of like
in Ip Man, what Donnie Yen does, where it's like the repeated punching like that, but not that fast, and just in the face
and kicking. I think our first enemy, he just stomps on their throat while they lie there and he's like, he's dead now. And then he chases the other guy away.
Mm-hmm.
And then our blind lady is like, oh, my hero.
And she has horrifyingly blind eyes.
They
went to the contact store.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, give me the worst that you have.
Yeah, and those contacts of that era were apparently incredibly painful.
You couldn't wear them for like probably more than like 20 minutes. Because your eyes can't breathe because they're made of glass.
Well, yeah, she's wearing big, horrible, gross, like a cataract style.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, please, who are you? And he's like, that's not important.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, well, at least let me touch your face. And so, which is always actually the most stereotypical thing about blind people in anything.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, well, can I touch your face? They're just all fetishistic for about touching people's faces.
Well, how do they know? How are they supposed to know what you look like, Matthew? You will be blinded tomorrow and you'll have to learn this lesson.
I don't care what people look like now and I just see it. Right?
Yeah.
And also, if some bird was like, can I touch your face?
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's Matthew. My name's Matthew. See ya. Like, that's it. Like, I just tell my name rather than have somebody's grimy hands all over
my face. Wow, you are not being very PC right now.
Well, it's not PC about that. It's not people touching me. Doesn't matter what race or creed they are. Like, doesn't
right.
matter who
Come
you
on.
Are. Just
okay,
don't touch
we're,
me.
We're stopping the Matthew Kumar hate hour and moving on to what happens after he saves those people?
He goes for dinner with them. I mean, there's basically, there's some stuff with the baddies.
Oh man, thank God that it didn't end Wicked Die Slow style.
Yeah.
Where he's like, thank you for saving us. I can't offer you anything about my daughter.
Yeah, I thought that as well. The simpleton guy, if you're like, well, you should have sex with her now. And I was like, please don't let that happen. There is a sex scene in this movie. It's kind of funny. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But basically, goes for dinner with the family. It's not really that important. It's one of those filler scenes.
Yeah.
But again, at this point, I've already seen a fairly enjoyable bit of fighting. So I was like, I'm in at this point. You know, mm-hmm. like unless. But as is tradition of kung fu films, the middle, it just kind of dawdles along for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So our hero has dinner with the family.
You meet Ponytail in an unrelated scene,
unrelated scene. He talks to the blind girl, and he's like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but basically what he says to her is, you know, you could go to a doctor about those eyes.
And she's like, in Hong Kong films, that seems to be like, in The Killer, the John Woo film, it's the same thing, where it's like, I'll get you an eye operation. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't work that easy.
Yeah, that's the thing that's like, don't get her hopes up, mate. I mean, like, like, have you looked at her eyes? She is seriously blind, right? Yeah. I mean, like, to be like, I'll take you to the city, get you a doctor, it'll be fine. Like, I mean, maybe the eye doctors are really good in China, we just don't know about this.
Yeah.
But I just like, I feel like it's getting their hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, anyway... So their sex scene happens. I don't even remember who's in the sex scene, why the sex scene happens, but it's funny because the woman is lying there and it's like, she's like, I want you to take my clothes off without using your hands. And then the dubbing is like, but how am I supposed to do that? It's like so whiny. And she's like, oh, you're so silly. Do it with your teeth. And he's like, oh, I get it. Like, he was just so whiny. Like,
yeah.
I'll never get these clothes off.
Yep.
And then... basically what happens is our hero fights Pigtail, right?
Yes, and his name is Pigtail because he fights with his pigtail.
Yep. And he doesn't start the fight immediately doing that. There's no like flashy build up to it. He just fights and it sort of goes whoosh, 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 starts whipping his hair around.
Yeah, and then like cuts into boards. This is classic Yuo Ping like idea fighting. Like he's really big on that. Like you bring to a fight an idea. And this particular one is like fight with a pigtail.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this... And the fights in the movie, like, never feel too old. Like, there's always a little, like, fresh element. I mean, it's not mind-blowing anything. But, like, this pigtail fight, you're like, yeah, woo!
Yeah, I mean, again, nothing in this... This isn't, like, one of the top ones you have to see or something, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, if you're familiar with the genre and you don't mind the movies, like, these are enjoyable fights to watch. You know,
yep.
You are not going to complain while watching them. And... again, part of it is that our hero is a psychopath.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't just beat up Pigtail like, where's your boss? He punches Pigtail a lot in the face and then hangs him to death.
With his pigtail.
With his pigtail. That's what's funny. Like, and he like legitimately just like stands and watches him choke to death. And he's like, yes, my job is done.
But then comes probably my favorite scene in the movie, which is Pigtail is hanging there. And the goons, like a bunch of them, I believe including Jackie Chan, I may be mistaken, run up and see him hanging there. I'm like, oh my god, no, what happened? Someone killed him, we'll have to get them. They don't have to get no one, because the hero just steps out from behind a building and he goes, I've been waiting for you. And then he beats them all up. It's amazing. There's no pause between the fights.
He just starts another fight. And again, it's a good ass fight,
yeah,
basically.
It is. And if I'm not mistaken, it then cuts to the bad guys in the palace.
What are they doing there?
They're just kind of hanging out, the baddies. Oh, no. And you see, like, Whip Man and Knife Guy kind of show off.
I think, they introduce Whip Guy and Knife Guy.
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, we've established our hero is shit hot.
Yeah.
He is...
This is one of those also magical kung fu films. There's no training montage.
Yeah.
He's just badass.
He's just great.
Yeah, he's just great. He learns nothing in this movie.
But then we get the one thing is at this point you're like, okay, well he wants to kill the guy who killed his dad, but he doesn't have a huge amount of motivation. So what's the classic motivation going to be? Of course, they have to kidnap his blind girlfriend.
His blind girl. Yeah, a bunch of bad dudes do.
But what I thought was weird about the sequence of the kidnapping is, well, she's, for some reason, she's just out in the woods, doddering about blind.
Yeah.
But the Godfather music is playing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the, you know... You know that's music of the Godfather?
Yeah.
That's the music that's playing. And I was like, this is... like, was somebody, you know, at the
like,
the
just dropped a needle, like, on whatever?
They were just, like, dubbing, and they were like, I'll get some Chinese music. You know, like, the no music, we'll stick over the top. And they were like, I don't have any Chinese music. I got this Italian music, though.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's basically the same. And they were like, sure, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And she gets kidnapped, bundled off. And our hero, I guess, has to, like...
Save her. He just goes right away, because, like, you see the guy in his... in his house or whatever, someone comes up to him and he's like, he's beating up everyone at the front of the house.
Actually, you know what? We have the order of this slightly wrong. Because he has to go and see the guy who killed his dad before the kidnapping happens.
Yeah, so that's what happened. He starts beating up all those guys and then he just goes to the guy's house.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So he goes there and then he says, basically, another classic thing. He doesn't feel out. He basically goes, hey, do you remember my dad? You fucking killed that guy.
Yeah, and then the bad guy looks and he goes, ah, it's like Sun Tzu, Sun Tzu, Sun Tzu, as the camera zooms up to his face. It's like, huh. Then you get a long flashback of like how the baddie like used to work for the guy's dad and betrayed him. Then it comes out of the flashback, and all I could think of was like, was he standing there all that time having that flashback?
Yeah, it's a long flashback, and it's one of those good flashbacks where the person who's having the flashbacks remembering stuff,
he wasn't there.
So basically the point is that he didn't so much kill the guy's dad as he consigned him to prison where he would die.
Yes.
By doing, because he's like, at one point he's like, selling drugs is serious, because he's framed the other guy for selling drugs.
Like, no.
And then during the flashback that he is remembering, he remembers the guy's wife
going insane.
Yeah, seeing soup and being like, ah, soup, and pushing it off, and that was a symbol that she went mental, I guess, from her husband being, put in jail.
So let's ask this eternal question: they're bad guys. But at the rate and violence that this guy's killing, everyone, is it really deserved? Because the guy didn't kill his father. And he didn't kill his mother either.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a one where they didn't put a lot of effort into the whole, making you feel like, oh, this is righteous anger. Because I say, even at this point, going back on ourselves, they've kidnapped his blind girlfriend. It feels like they're just like, just leave us alone. You have killed like 18 people by this point. Just let it go. So our hero like literally just runs off a mountain.
No, you skipped some parts. Because he just beats up a bunch of guys. He runs into a field. It's one of those things where the hero will meet some people and then they'll run somewhere else to have a fight. Because there's that scene where they all grab bamboo poles. This is a very specific scene because... And they start to fight him with bamboo poles. Then he takes them and stabs them into people.
That's true.
And then, strangles two of them with one bamboo pole by just, pushing down on their necks.
Yeah, and he stands on two of them as well. Like, yeah, he does a lot of killing. Then he runs up a mountain.
Yeah, right? And then because he goes back to the guy's house. And they're like, oh, he's gone. He left. Yeah. I think he went that way. And the hero's like, oh, fuck. And then he just runs. He runs up, Matthew has said three times, runs up a mountain until he just catches them.
Yeah, but he gets to the mountain and there's no one there, right? He's like, what's going on here? I thought they'd be at the top of this mountain. So he walks into the middle when he falls into the smallest hole. like a hole that is literally about... God, half a meter in diameter or something?
Like, they were like...
In the middle of a huge field.
So they were like, man, we really hope that he walks right here.
He has to walk. Like, what do we know about our enemy? And they were like, he always walks in the center of a room. And they were like, okay, so we'll just put it right in the middle and you'll fall in.
And he falls in. And this is a good moment to bring up something that I can't believe we didn't mention. Which is... A bunch of guys jump up with ropes and capture him and trap him in the middle with ropes.
Yeah.
What is he gonna do? He's gonna have to use the only weapon he has, which is a fucking boomerang.
this is the best thing. He has never.
He used it once.
He used it once before?
He did use the boomerang once. Yes, he did.
Before that point?
Before that point.
Oh my god,
I
missed it. When?
Earlier in one of the fights he used it. But so he pulled... But it's weird because they never make a point of it.
But this point they make a point of it.
Because he fucking kicks ass with it with one throw.
Because their plan when they rope him up is... What we'll do is... We'll
turn around in a circle.
Yeah, we'll run around him for a while while he's roped up. And then we'll sort of swing him against a wall until he dies.
Oh man, the actor tries to sell it. He's like,
until eventually the hero goes, wait a minute, I know Kung Fu. I'll just jump off the wall and backflip.
Ah, awesome.
He does that, and then, he just pulls out his boomerang and embeds it in someone.
He kills three people.
Yeah.
Cuts one guy's throat, whips around, cuts another dude's throat, lands in another guy, the guy grabs it, and then cuts the ropes with it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes,
it's awesome. It's like... Because you're already enjoying it, but at this point you're like, oh, and this movie has fun stuff, boomerang kills. At that point, they're like, well, we've got to send in the last two remaining guns.
Yeah, which is knife throwing dude
and whip guy.
Whip guy.
And again, this is a really fun,
It is fun. The guy gets hit by the knife, and then he grabs the knife and pulls it out and throws it back.
It's got a classic kind of you talk of misdirection where the guy, he throws a knife at him, he dodges the first one, Matrix style, I would say, Wenwu Ping, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then the next one, you're like, oh my god, he's been hit by the next one. It looks like it stuck him right in the heart. You're like, oh, it's all over. But then no, he actually caught it in the pit of his arm.
Yeah.
And he turns around and throws it at the knife guy. It's great. Like, because it's just like... It's
and
just
then
like,
he's using, like, bodies to catch the knives. Like,
yeah, he, like, yeah, he uses a body, the knife goes... He does... And then he's basically a beat knife guy, and then whip guy's like, wait a minute, I've been sleeping on the job here.
Yeah, I've got a whip.
So he starts using whip guy.
I don't really remember, but they fight, and he beats them.
They fight, but again, the way that he eventually beats whip guy is, like, he, like... tangles at the whip and jumps over him.
No, it's amazing because he does all... And Whip Guy, like, is starting to lose. So Whip Guy runs away and he chases after him.
He chases Whip Guy. But the point is that Whip Guy is on the floor. And what he's doing to Whip Guy is just kicking him in the face until he dies.
Yep.
Once again, our hero. Just a murderer. Just a crazy psychopath. It was like he was first in his class because he just loved killing. Like, and like just
children, women, it doesn't matter.
Like, every single sequence is that part from The Simpsons where, like, Homer is murdering the hamburger. And then somebody's like, stop, he's already dead. Because, like, he just keeps going. He's like, is he dead yet? I'll kick him 13 more times to make sure.
It's kind of like, you kind of feel that John Woo is directing, because that's the aesthetic that John Woo brings to, like, Gunshot.
Yeah.
Everyone gets shot 20 times before they go down. It's just like that with the punching and the kicking. So... these guys are taken out. It's awesome. There's the big baddie left. And I'm like, oh man, what are they saving up for this? How are they going to kill this guy? He beats him up a little bit, puts his hand on his shoulder and goes, you've killed a lot of people. You're going to jail.
But yet the last guy, we're making the point that our goody is really good, you know, because he doesn't kill the main bad guy.
He brings him to jail.
He brings him to jail. That was his job. Don't forget. And the film basically ends with the blind woman being like, will I see you again? He's like, yep, I'll come back and I'm going to take you to the doctors. And he just goes, he literally goes, see ya. And he just rides away on a horse. And she's like, see ya. And I was like, that's kind of cold, man. Because,
like, he's not coming back.
Because first of all, she's blind. Like, see ya is like, I mean, but yeah, I mean, and it just, I mean, it ends like that, snap, done.
Yeah.
It's like, in, out, you saw a bunch of guys get beaten up mercilessly and you enjoyed it. The end.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I have no complaints about this movie.
No, I don't either. Which brings the question, canon?
Well, this is an interesting question because we really liked it.
Yes.
But is it like a canon movie? I mean, like, it's the first, like...
Can we just put it in as, like, the most fun that we've had up to date?
You know what? Fuck it. It was good. Like, it's and we can totally justify it in that they would go on to do...
Ninja films
and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And more kung fu films, so... So it's, and, but when we, again, we talk about canon, it's like, when you pick this movie, like, I just don't think there's, I don't think they saw it and they thought, this is really fun, we should put it
out. No, they said, there's a kung fu film, I'm sure they got it in, like, a double deal with the one that they released after this one.
Which is the Thunder Kick.
Yeah, it goes by another million titles also, and we're going to watch that one afterwards, and we'll see what the podcast for that one will be. Hopefully, we hate it, so we can just rip into it, and it's not another, like, awesome.
I think kung fu movies are kind of interesting within the canon context anyway because they are classic type of stuff that was picked up by distributors, used and abused. I mean, like, for a good example, this movie, right, that we are talking about now, which was known as, you know, all these different names. We didn't even mention the fact it's also known as Dragons of Death.
Yes.
And the cover that is on IMDb notably has Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan on it, and it says you will see them fight in this movie, and that is the biggest lie ever.
Yeah,
like, and that's like, if you get down to it, that's like classic canon. Like, even
but
though that's
classic,
not canon,
that's also classic. Just like all these Asian people look alike, you won't be able to tell the difference. Like,
yeah, I can't. You know, that's what a lot. This makes me sound like I'm a moron, but that's the first time I really thought about that. That's actually why they kept saying Bruce Lee was on those movies, right?
Because
they were just like, well, the problem thing is Bruce Lee, because who's going to notice? Because obviously, I can tell Bruce Lee apart from other people. But I guess they thought people in the 70s couldn't. And for all we know, they actually couldn't.
Wow. You're not giving them much...
No. After all the movies we've watched from canon films so far that accept that people are really dumb, I kind of maybe think that's true. But... although we are recommending this movie for people who... I would recommend this for people who already enjoy kung fu movies.
Yes.
It's not a good entryway to the the style, but if you like this sort of thing, you will not dislike this.
Nope, you'll be like, there was lots of fights, it was satisfying, it was brutal. It's not violent. Like, there's not blood. There's no blood.
It's just enjoyably crunchy, you know, mm-hmm. that you feel the hits.
Yeah.
I think we should do some other recommendations.
Of kung fu films?
Oh, just of films. Yes. This is what we do every podcast.
I want to jump in because we were talking about sex comedies, and I was like, I don't really know sex comedies. And I forgot one that I really liked, and it may sound ridiculous because it's one that you will find in a bargain bin for $5, which is The Girl Next Door, starring Alicia Cuthbert and Emil Hirsch.
Speed Racer. Emil Hirsch is in that? He's the boy in it?
He's the boy in it. Wow. Speed Racer himself. Also, Paul Dano.
Okay, so just this is in reference to our previous episode. Which was Au Pair Girls, which was a British sex comedy, which we, you know...
It was okay.
It was fine.
Yeah. But, like, as far as sex comedy goes, and especially modern ones, that one's really good. Timothy Olyphant plays the bad guy. It was directed by a dude named Luke Greenfield, who's, like, super passionate about the work that he's done.
I always think of Timothy Olyphant as Hitman. Like, I always think of him as bald and not very good. So, when you say he's in a sex comedy, I just imagine Hitman in this sex comedy.
It's actually the first place I saw him in a movie, I think, that I could recognize. And then he really pops in the film. He plays, like, a skeezy, like, the porn manager of Cuthbert. So, yeah. Okay. Definitely recommend. Go see that one. It's a cool coming-of-age story in, like, the 80s vein.
So there you go. Although we just talk about kung fu films, if you're still on a sex comedy kick...
Yeah, I didn't really have anything last week, so I wanted to throw a good one. But as far as kung fu films goes, that's tough, because kung fu films, do you want a beginner one? Do you want one
that... I have my pick.
Yes. Is it Fist of Legend starring Jet Li?
No, it's not Fist of Legend starring Jet Li.
Okay.
It's, again, I like to make it as related to the film as we can.
Yes.
So this film has a lot of names in it.
Yep.
Right? So obviously there's Jackie Chan and mm-hmm. everyone else, Yuen Woo-ping. Right?
Yes.
And I was like, what's a Yuen Woo-ping film that I saw recently, which I really enjoyed and people probably wouldn't have thought of?
Hmm.
Mismatched Couples.
Oh, yes. Me and Matthew watched that very recently. Donnie Yen, You Will Pig.
Yeah, Donnie Yen,
Not really Pig. A kung fu film.
Not though. Really a kung fu film, but it is a breakdancing comedy with a young Donnie Yen.
Yes.
And it's not amazing.
It's plotless. There's no plot in this movie.
But if you want to see a movie where basically Donnie Yen just can't stop breakdancing, he gets up in the morning and, like, the first thing he does is rip off his teddy bear pants. Like, he went to sleep in those. And he, like, uses mad kung fu kicks to, like, put on his, like, amazing Reeboks.
Mm.
And then when he goes to, like, do tennis, he, like, does a bunch of, like, kung fu tennis on, like, a bicycle. Like, it's crazy. And it just... The main problem with it is it doesn't really have a climax. It kind of climaxes early with a big mad breakdancing dance-off.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is kind of deadened by Yuen Woo-ping, who is in it.
Yes.
Playing like a...
Who has one amazing scene where he's trying to hide and, like, eats tacks and...
Yeah. And there's a lot of slapstick, but it's, like, such a fantastic... I mean, obviously, when people think of canon, they think of the breakdancing movies, Boogaloo and all that.
This is a deep cut.
Yeah, this is a deep cut, but... If you're looking for other examples of that genre, I guess, you cannot go wrong with Mismatched Couples, which I also think has a brilliant, not soundtrack, but the main song for Mismatched Couples.
So good!
It's really great, really
and
fun.
I hope you like it, because it plays like a thousand times.
And I love it. I honestly think Mismatched Couples is a really fun, silly movie. And the first time I heard of it, actually... was from this zine called Kill You Last, done by a guy in the UK. If you like zines, pick up Kill You Last. It's really good.
So I'm going to keep riding the Yuen Woo-ping train, and I'm going to go with movies that I feel like they're almost his passion project, and he has never really returned to this kind of genre before. And it's a series of films he made with the Yuen clan, his brothers, and I don't know if his father was around at the time, which include films like Miracle Fighters, Drunken Wu-Tang, and they have other titles. It's like the Kung Fu thing, they're misnamed a bunch. And they're these fucking insane movies. You will never see a more insane Kung Fu film. Where basically anything can happen. Like, they can fight a giant watermelon monster. They can fight a giant, like, stick man. Snakes can appear out of nowhere. People's heads get ripped off. I've shown some trailers, a bunch of Laser Blast Film Society. And they're just these insane, like, if you like fantasy kind of based kung fu films, and they're still really physical, like you're like, whoa, what are they doing? You have to see these movies. They must have taken a bunch of LSD and just, you know, over 5 years they made a bunch of movies where it's just, you watch them and you're like, how did they do this? That's how crazy these movies are. And it feels like the imagination in those films, after that, Yuwo Ping was like, I'm done. I'll just do straight, like, fight scenes from now on. Like, The Matrix for Yuwo Ping, it feels like he was like, like he had just woken up and he did it really quick.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I kind of agree with that. I feel like a lot of the Western stuff he's done is kind of straightforward. Like, he's like, oh, you're not going to get the good stuff.
You know,
I've already done as good as I can. Now we'll work with these white people and help them do sort of okay stuff. Because really, when you go back and look at The Matrix, like, I remember really enjoying The Matrix at the time, but it's not that exciting when you compare it to, like,
even this,
you know, like,
he's given, like, the straight, it's kind of like, I've never had a steak before, and you're like, oh, here's the base, it's cut of meat.
Yeah.
You know, it tastes, it's like, it's good.
Yeah.
But, like, people, like, were like, oh, it's amazing! Well, Yuwo Ping, I wonder what he was like when people were, like, raving about his work, and he's just like, yeah, you know, it's okay, I guess. Like, it feels like one of his, like, journeyman jobs. Like, The Matrix, like, and I'm sure he worked hard with Keanu Reeves and stuff like that. And there's other fights. Like, the Burly Brawl in the second one is crazy in the sense that he choreographed a fight where a guy is fighting multiple people and it's never a, like, take them on one at a time. So Yuwo Ping was probably, like, stretching his muscles there. But if you look at something like Kill Bill, that's... there's a funny story that a Hong Kong... Bay Logan, a reporter on Hong Kong movies, said once, which is when he was on set with a famous action choreographer called Corey Yun, who did a lot of American stuff. He was a go-to American guy, like The Transporter, Dead or Alive, that video game movie. Like, he worked on all that stuff, which is, like, they have combinations. So they're like, I'll give me a number 7 here, maybe mix it with a little bit of a 2. Like, they don't create stuff. They just have set combinations that they go to. And that's what feels like Yuwo Ping's work is like in The Matrix and all that stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, even Iron Monkey, which is, like, mind-blowing, one of my favorite, like, Hong Kong action movies, is not as crazy as, like, Miracle Fighters, which
is the thing I recommend. But that is a good gateway film.
That is a great gateway film. That's probably my first recommendation I would do, is go see Iron Monkey. Just enough craziness.
All right.
Yeah, I think we've recommended quite a bit for Kung Fu Aficionados.
We've done our recommendations, but we are going on to watch another Kung Fu film next week.
Yes.
Which, as we described already, is The Thunder Kick, or it's known by some other things.
Yeah, I believe it's like Survival of the Dragon. That's what it's called.
Survival of the Dragon. Will we like it?
Who knows?
Well, who knows?
You'll have to tune in next week because you've been listening to Loose Cannons. My name's Justin McLeod.
I'm Matthew Kumar.
Thanks for listening.